This is Simple Life Works, a weekly podcast where we discuss ways to minimize stress and anxiety through simplification and a reduction of the physical and mental clutter we all feel in our lives. My name is Brad Lawless. Each week, I'll bring you real stories from people doing good, simple works that improve their lives, meaningfully connect with others, and contribute to their communities. Working together, I know we can change the world one simple act at a time. Let's get started. Well, I think I'm stretching the definition of a weekly podcast by a little bit. Before I started recording today, I didn't really check to see how many weeks it had been. I'm pretty sure I'm going on 20 plus, if not 30. For those couple of dozen of you who listened to my first few episodes, I apologize that I've taken such a long break. The only real explanation I have, I'm not even going to call it an excuse, is just that life got in the way and then inertia took over. So the last podcast I did, I talked about working for a film festival that live events sap pretty much all your time. Folks close to me know that just before then, I had a tree fall through my house during a storm. So we got to move from the house we had just moved into in January, where I was going to be talking about minimizing through that experience, into a new house in 3 days. And then file insurance and deal with all of that. Honestly, I've just been kind of thrown for a loop since then, trying to get through summer with kids out of school. The house that we moved out of in January was 2,200 square feet. The tree house, as we've started calling it, was 1,700, and that was a good size. The new house that we had to move into is 1,200, and so we've, by necessity, gotten rid of a lot of stuff. We still feel like we are cramped. And some of the stuff we haven't gotten rid of everything we want. Some of the stuff we don't want to get rid of. This is, I believe, a temporary home for us for the next until our lease runs out at the end of this 12-month period. So, having said all of that, that's part of the reason it's taken me a little while to get back to this podcast, this labor of love of mine. The episode that I've got for you today, I actually recorded way back in April. I didn't get around to producing it, doing the post-production. And then, like I said, life happened. So today I have an interview for you with Lori Marshall and Stephanie Funk, a couple of friends of mine. Lori's a freelance writer. She also works on the Tribe of Women project with my good friend Amy Robinson, who has been on this show before. Stephanie is a marketing consultant, owns her own company, Funking Company, and as we do in stages of life, she has been sort of examining the relationship that stuff plays in her life and clothes in particular. So this episode, we talked a little bit more about capsule wardrobes. Not that any of us really practice that, but we kind of have our own routines when it comes to clothing. And Lori is almost a ninja level thrifter. And so the conversation veered into fast fashion and the role that it plays in our culture and in our lives and our headspace. So we had a good conversation around all things clothing. I have no idea what my next episodes are going to be after this. I literally just forced myself to sit down because after a while, procrastination just got in my head. And I was like, oh, how am I ever going to get this thing going again? So I wanted to get this episode out for you now. I think the next episode is probably going to be a little more free-form thought on my part. Talking about maybe how I want to reposition this. I've been thinking a lot about the term simple life. When I first started this project, a lot of it was on the simple part, being minimalistic and simplifying things. I've come to appreciate those things that are a little more simple and not material. Simple joys, simply spending time with friends. All of those things that less stuff maybe allows you to focus on, appreciate more. And I want to explore some of that in the future. But that is to be determined. very, very soon. It will not be 26 more weeks before I get you another episode out. With any luck, it'll be 1 week or less. So without any further ado, here are my good friends, Stephanie and Lori, talking about fast fashion and how they deal with the clothes in their lives. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, so let's start with Stephanie then, because I think yours it'll segue nicely into yours. So Stephanie, I mean, I always ask everybody what's their story. While you didn't build a capsule wardrobe, you tried to simplify, and clothes were part of that, right? So how did you kind of come to that decision? What did you actually do? And then we'll kind of go from there.
Right. So I cannot stand clutter, yet I find myself living in clutter pretty often. And it turns out it's my own fault. Like, I create clutter. And so as I started kind of thinking about how can I live more simply, I also made friends with someone who's now one of my best friends, Phoebe, who lives in Pacific Palisades in California. And she lives in roughly the same square footage as I do. And there's no clutter in her house. She only has what's essential, and she's not missing anything. And so I started looking around my house, and I was like, would I miss that if it weren't here? Would I miss that if it weren't here? And I realized I had this emotional attachment to things that, if that thing just disappeared from the room, I would not even realize it. But when it was right in front of me, I couldn't separate from it.
Right.
So a couple of my friends, I had seen on Facebook, a couple of my friends had done this KonMari method. Really, that's about your whole life and your whole house. But it starts with your closet. And you, what KonMari is, she's Japanese, and it's a Marie Kondo is her name. And she has this whole process
The tidying up book, right?
The life-changing art of tidying up. So I don't really read that much these days. Not that I'm illiterate, but, you know, just busy. So I listened to it on Audible while I was doing it, which, you know, really worked for me, because it was like I had a guidance counselor there, like talking me through and coaching me. But she has you like literally take everything out of your closet. Everything, not just like all the things on hangers or all the things that are folded or all the belts. Empty your closet. And so for me, that meant emptying it into the bathroom floor, because this big walk-in closet that moved into the bathroom or was off the bathroom. And then you pick up and touch every single thing and say to this thing, and she encourages you to do it out loud. I started feeling really silly. But does this spark joy? And like if you're keeping something because, and this is my MO, it's too small, but I have aspirations that it will fit again someday.
We all have those aspirations, don't
right?
we?
Right? Yeah. But would you buy it again if you were that size? Like, that article of clothing is 10 years old. Today, I would not buy that same thing. I'm just holding on to it because I want to be that size again. And so then she says, even if it's an expensive piece of clothing, she's like, thank it for its service, for the joy that it brought you at one time, and let it go. Put it in the out pile. And I got rid of like 80% of my closet that day, just doing that. Things that were too big that I was afraid to let go of in case I gained weight. That doesn't spark joy, thinking about gaining weight, right? Like, things that were expensive that I knew I really wasn't going to wear again, but I felt guilty getting rid of. What she says is, you can bless somebody else. Like, if I give that to the Goodwill, it's still in great condition. It's a very nice piece of clothing. Somebody else is going to get joy out of it while it's sitting in my closet and I'm not getting any joy out of it. I'm getting guilt out of it every time I look at it. So the end result was this like tiny little closet. My closet was like completely empty almost, but I loved everything in it and I wore everything in it. And it was so well done, and she even has a way for you to fold your clothes, but it was so well done that I could literally just go in order. I didn't have to think about what I was going to wear on the day. I would get up and just pick the next thing in front because I knew I loved it.
And that provides, and I mean, and the goal, right? And that's why, you know, when I first came to you, I was thinking, we talked capsule. And I think that's why other people think about that. That's the end result of a capsule wardrobe too, right? Everything is functional.
Right.
and you remove that daily stressor of standing in front of your closet going, oh man, what am I going to wear today? And why is it closed? Put something on and go do something.
My thing, but you know, the amount of like mental gymnastics and emotional roller coaster I would have every morning, and guilt and shame of, I should really wear that. I don't wear that enough. I don't want to wear that today though. I really want to wear this. So I'm going to wear this. Why did I just put myself through all that guilt and shame? You know?
Right. Before 7:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Why start your day? And I didn't even realize I was creating that heaviness in my life. I was starting my day in guilt and shame over my clothes.
Mm-hmm. There are these things on that I've seen on Instagram that are 10x10 challenges. And it's picking out 10 outfits to wear for the next 10 days. And then people post it on Instagram. Here's what I wore. And it's basically the same kind of thing. You're mixing and matching because you only have 10. Oh, and then I think maybe you can only use 10 pieces too, like 10 pieces for 10 days. So then they all have to go together. So I tried it and I got through like 6 days and I was like, I can't do this anymore. But the days that I did it, it felt like that. It was like I got up in the morning and I looked at my list of what I was going to wear on Tuesday and I put that on and it was like, whoa, I need to, even if I have a huge closet full of stuff, I could still like plan out my next week and then not have to stress. So it's,
yeah,
it's a similar end.
The whole capsule idea, I think, really got, I don't know if she started it and I want to say it was Courtney Carver. Anyway, a fairly well-known minimalist started a 3-3-3 challenge, and that's 33 items for 3 months.
Yes, yeah. I don't think it's Courtney, it's something else.
Yeah, but either way, that takes a lot of discipline, but you can have benefits. And really, I think you just have to define what works for you. It maybe it's 50 items for for 2 weeks, whatever. But if you're able to take out some of that extra stuff, there does appear to be some benefits. So, Stephanie, let me ask you.
Yes.
You know, you've been working up to this point. You had a successful startup in the area doing consulting now. I mean, how does this work with the idea? And then, Lori, feel free to chime in as well. With the idea of being a professional, especially for a woman, right? Because I think a lot of people have the concept of you have to wear something different every day, whereas a guy's going to wear, if they have to wear a suit, it's a navy suit 5 days a week or whatever.
Right. Guys have it so easy because you need a pair of black shoes, a pair of brown shoes, a pair of running shoes, a suit, some pants, a couple shirts, and a tie. Like, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I have gotten to a point where I buy nice quality pieces, investment pieces, in neutral. So I wear basically the same things over and over, mixed and matched. I have, a couple pairs of denim, nice denim, like in different colors, grays and blacks, because in the modern workplace, like, we don't have to wear slacks or skirts necessarily. And then some kind of consultant-ish tops and some blazers so that I can look, professional and polished, and a couple of presentation dresses. And I just rotate through those. I get compliments all the time on the way I'm dressed, and it cracks me up because I want to say, you just saw me in this exact same top 3 days ago. It was just with a different skirt, right? Or different accessories.
Right.
So, but if you do that,
Well, even my accessories, I wear basically the same things over and over. I really don't. Some people say, oh, you can really show your personality with your accessories. Well, in the end, though, if you really want people to be focused on the work that you do, what is the point in distracting them with lots of big, bold accessories? Look polished and put together, but don't distract with what's going on with your attire. It should just look professional. There's no sense in having a bunch of different things.
I don't want my necklace to make a statement. I want me to make a statement.
Exactly.
That's the point. Yeah. I love that idea.
Exactly.
And I think it's easier when you go through the process of going through your closet and seeing what sparks joy. It's got to be easier than when you do go shopping to know exactly, like, okay, I had 3 button-down shirts. I decided I can't stand button-down shirts and got rid of them. So, of course, I'm not going to buy another button-down shirt. So it helps, I think, to then be able to go out and buy those things that you know look good on you, the color's right, the cut and all that. So then it just helps the process going forward.
Well, and I will say it has simplified my shopping life. I used to go to Target all the time and would find all kinds of things that I could not leave the store without. I actually do not enjoy going to Target anymore because it's all stuff that I don't need. And I don't even look at the clothes in Target. None of them ever fit me well. None of them last. You know, they're not going to be pieces that I truly care about. They're very trendy. And so that part of my brain is freed up. Like, I don't have to be, I don't even have to pay attention to that. So I have a couple of lines of clothes now that I'm really into. I know they fit me well. I know they last. And if I need something new, that's where I'm going to go first. And I'm going to find what I need.
So before you made the switch, was there some impulse or even compulsion that you felt like you had to go visit a store like Target because, oh, there's new stuff and I have to have the new stuff?
So I would spend time on Zulily, which to me is like the most useless shopping app, or not useless, but most excessive shopping app, because it's literally just random stuff. And I would just order all these things that I absolutely didn't need. I had at one point 4 Raglan t-shirts with different like iron-ons on them. I don't wear those. Why would I buy those? But they looked so cute on Zulily and they were so cheap. and then Target, Old Navy, Gap, and Taylor Loft. Like, I had to go see what was new. And now one of my favorite dresses is from Talbot's. I got it when I was in college. I am 40 years old. It's a A-line navy blue shift dress with a simple collar. It is absolutely timeless, and I don't know how long I'll have it. I mean, it's just perfection. And so I look for things like that are more timeless, well-made, lined, have good, hearty seams. You're not going to find that at the big box stores.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, so let's shift gears for a second. Lori, in the lead up to this, you and I got involved in a little Facebook discussion over a post that you found on fast fashion. So give me your definition of fast fashion and kind of your take on it, because that's really what we're talking about, is all of these.
Yeah. Several of the things that Stephanie mentioned fall right into that. I was sitting here thinking, yep, there it is, because when I did my challenge for myself, I knew nothing about fast fashion. This is something that's come into my view over the last year and a half. I started following some people on Instagram, and then they were talking about it. So how Instagram is, you just start following these rabbit holes. So there are a few different definitions of fast fashion. It's a legitimate term that's used in the fashion industry that is about how the boutique brands and, the Gap and Target and all of these different brands, they will take whatever they see on the runway and as fast as they can, hence the name, get it made cheaply in China and churn them out and get them into their stores so that when you see Fashion Week on TV, you can go out the next week and find something that resembles what the models wore. So that's fast fashion in the industry. But then there's also a term that talks about how many of the brands are also introducing new styles on a much tighter timeline. We used to see, like in the spring, we would start seeing summer things. In the summer, the fall and winter would start. So there were about 4 seasons that came through stores every year. But now they are promoting, if you go into a boutique in the mall or if you look at something online, like up to 12 or 14 times a year, they're redoing their entire line. So if you go to Target this week and you go again in another few weeks, you may see completely different clothes on the racks. And so that is another way to say, that's another term for fast fashion. And then the result of that is that because they have to get those clothes made cheaply, get them into the store cheaply, get people to buy them, get them off the racks and get the new stuff in, that stuff is lower quality. It becomes almost disposable. Well, it becomes disposable. Then, you know,
yeah.
It's so cheap and it was so quick to hit the store. You wear it a few times, a seam rips, you throw it out. And you can't even donate that stuff. You know, if it's busted, you shouldn't be taking it to Goodwill. And so then there are articles on how much clothing and fashion waste there are in our landfills. And so anyway, so all of that is fast fashion and I don't like it.
It's like fast food.
Yeah, go ahead,
I mean, it's the same, you know, connotation as fast food. Like, it's just gross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good
it's
for you.
It's wasteful and gross.
It's not good for, yeah, it's not good for our planet. It's just cheap and disposable. It's really feeding this feeling. I read a story actually that published today. I don't remember what website it was, but this morning there was a story about how even designers, there are designers now who in certain places, probably New York mostly, are if you order online their $400 bag, they will bring it to you within a few hours. Like now the fast fashion is becoming like as soon as you order it, we're going to get it to your door. And I just don't even understand the desire for that. But that's the next step is now designers are starting to say, well, let's see if we can make things faster and get them to people faster than before. So,
well, you know, in some ways it's anti-mindfulness, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
There's nothing inherently wrong with marketing, but it taps into
that's what I do. So
well, I know it's kind of what I do too sometimes. But
differently.
But it taps into psychological triggers. But you know, right. There are ways where I think, you know, at a macro level, when you take everything that's happening and doing, and that's why it's really up to the individual to kind of step back and go, maybe I don't want to participate in that particular stimulus because mm-hmm. If you feel like you have to go to the store and buy those clothes, and then you, oh, I want that bag, it'll be here, and I need it to go to the party by 7.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, you're reacting to everything and not really thinking about what you need or want.
Well, and how many times have we gone, maybe not you, Brad, but how many times, Stephanie, have we gone to our closet and dug through to see what we have and then been, oh, I forgot I had that dress. I bought that thinking
right.
I was going to wear it. And it's been, you know, and there's
right.
There was a study done by ThredUp, which is a online consignment store that sells fashion, designer fashions. And the study came out with the result that the average woman doesn't wear 60% of the pieces in their closet. And it's not mindful. It's not mindful to have stuff sitting around that you don't even realize you have.
Well, I 100% agree with that. And right, what could you spend that money on? And then also, I remember mm-hmm. standing in my closet and looking at a full closet of clothes and shoes and thinking, I don't have anything to wear. What am I going to wear?
Yeah.
And it was because I couldn't
right.
see through the clutter to the pieces. I couldn't find the pieces I loved because there was so much other stuff in my way.
Mm-hmm.
Just unnecessary.
Let's then talk about your... would you call it, did you do it as an experiment just to see if you could get through the year?
Yeah, it was a challenge. So what happened was I was with a group of ladies and we all read, The Happiness of Pursuit. And it's a book about, Guillebeau, I think, I don't remember his first name, the author, but he wrote about a quest that he went on to visit every country in the world. And I think he had a timeline that he was trying to hit. So he encourages people who read the book to come up with their own quest to challenge themselves. And it's, you know, good to have a thing to be working towards. So we were all sitting around thinking, okay, well, you know, if we had a quest, what would that be? And so everybody tried to come up with something that would kind of fit into what their lifestyle or brand was. And since I have my Junk Resunk brand that's all about repurposing, somehow I came to the conclusion that I just should buy everything secondhand for a year. And I had this big idea that I was going to post about it on my blog and all this stuff. I think I posted twice. But I was able to keep it up. And I think if I remember correctly, this was a couple of years ago. I didn't keep tabs on how much I spent. And I think if I did it again, I would compare what I was spending every month with what I would have been spending if I was buying new. But the only thing that I did end up buying new was a bicycle. We decided to start riding bikes. And even after you watch Craigslist for several weeks, you're not going to find a really nice bike to trust. So I bought a new bicycle. But other than that, everything that I brought home for the house that was decorative or kitchen stuff. Now, let me say this, though. I certainly have plenty of privilege in that I don't need anything new. I've got all the dishes and all the towels and all the anything I need. But when I started making a habit of going to thrift stores, I could totally replace everything in my house from thrift stores, consignment stores, Craigslist, what were some other places? Well, pawn shops. I mean, if you really start thinking about the breadth of places that you can buy things secondhand, there is hardly a need to ever go into a new store, to a product store, a retail store. And I don't even do it anymore. I'm like Stephanie, I just don't go to Target or the mall. And it's amazing how when I do go, I fill my basket and I'm like, what am I doing? So if I just
tell me, I have to ask about pawn shops. I've never been to a pawn shop. What do you buy there?
Well, they have a lot of electronics. They have jewelry. There's an assortment. Pawn shops get a bad rap, I think, because they're pretty seedy looking from the outside. and there are probably some that I wouldn't necessarily go in. Sometimes most of the time my husband will want to go to a pawn shop because he's looking for some kind of a tool or an electronic piece or something. And they very often smell like cigarette smoke and they're, you know, not as well laid out as we're used to probably as females. Like, it's not a staged store, you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
there's
they
no
have
housewares
everything.
And health and beauty category.
Yeah, no, not so much. No end caps with the latest trendy thing, but they have a lot of jewelry. They have a lot of electronics and like lawn tools and hunting gear and camping gear. And really, if anybody wants to sell it to make a little cash, you know, they'll buy it. So they have a lot of things, but it's probably mostly geared toward a male demographic, just because I think that's kind of who mostly shops at pawn shops. I could be completely off base there, but that's what I see mostly.
Interesting.
That's probably accurate. So you didn't measure the money saved necessarily, but
no.
What do you feel were the biggest benefits of your year?
For me, I came away from that with a better understanding of how frugally I can live and how driven by societal expectations my shopping habits had been to that point. And then once I found fast fashion and the concerns around not only just how cheaply made things are and how disposable they are, but also where things are being made and who is making those things that I'm putting on my body, it forced me to start thinking about, well, if there are places where I can get things that have already been purchased and that are just sitting here about to go to the dump if somebody else doesn't buy them and keep them in the stream of life, then why don't I do that? I've found things at thrift stores with tags still on them, designer mm-hmm. brands with tags still on them for $10. And for me, now it also takes some time to do that shopping, and I'm able to do that because I'm a freelancer and I can make my own schedule. And so it is harder, especially, let me just rant for a second about Goodwill, who does not put anything on the rack by size. That's a frustration. But other than that, you know, if I'm looking for picture frames or small appliances or even some small furniture pieces, I just don't see the point in buying things that are new when I know that they were made cheaply and I can find something just as good or better at a consignment or a thrift store.
Well, let me just add here that I follow Lori on Instagram, and you always look incredibly well put together.
Thank you. Oh, that's something else I wanted to mention, too. And the difference, it's interesting to listen to you talk about your wardrobe, Stephanie, because my, and your house, too, as an artist and a writer, my house is cluttered. I will admit it's cluttered. But also, I express myself through the things that I have around me. Like on my walls, I have things that inspire me as I'm sitting at my desk. And when I'm dressing in the morning, it's like that's part of my expression of who I am. I admire women who do the capsule wardrobe and they have like 4 navy things and 3 white things and some black things. And then they all go together. I cannot imagine not having lots of things to choose from. But anyway, that's probably completely beside the point.
No, I think it's a fair assessment. And that's one of those things I always try to emphasize. I think people get hung up on if they like the idea of minimalism or they like the idea of being a little simpler in things, they go, oh, but there's no way I could live with only, you know, mm-hmm. 2 pairs of pants. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to simplify clothing. If you love books, well, keep all your books. Like it kind of goes back to, do you really get something out of that? Or is it,
right,
you feel guilty? Like I'm an Englishman. I'm like you, Gloria. I mean, I'm a writer and, did English in college. And when I got out of college, I had probably 100+ books that I moved.
Yeah.
You know, 12 times from apartment to apartment, to house, to house, to house. And finally, kind of, you know, a few years back when I was getting into this, I was like, this is ridiculous. I haven't read any of these books since college. Mm-hmm. If I want to read them again, I can go to the used bookstore and pay probably $1 for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can, you know, get an ebook and carry it around on my phone. Either way, you know, there's no reason this, for me, that particular thing has to take up space. So that was one of those things I gifted to the world so someone else could read those books.
And that's a good point. And Stephanie mentioned this earlier when she was cleaning out her closet is I read the KonMari book too. And it definitely made me start thinking about the giving something away to let someone else enjoy it. That made it so much easier for me to start getting rid of things. And I have gone through my closet and whittled it down, and I have gone through my kitchen cabinets and gotten rid of things. And to think of an item, like I know when I'm at a consignment store or a thrift store and I find something really great and I'm like, oh, wow, what a great price for this thing that's hardly used. And I love being able to say, well, okay, I enjoy having this in my house, but it doesn't serve a purpose. And so I can give this away to someone else and it can continue to serve a purpose for someone else who actually needs it. Why do I need 17 towels? I don't need 17 towels or 3 people in my house. So maybe we can let somebody else who needs those towels have those towels. So that,
right.
Yeah,
for me, that piece of it really took away the guilt of wastefulness. Like, okay, maybe I made a purchase that I shouldn't have made, but all is not lost. Somebody else can enjoy this. I'm not just throwing it away. I'm not just throwing away money. I'm contributing.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are places here in our community and elsewhere too, that you really, it's not just a theoretical, I'm benefiting people by donating this bag of clothes to Goodwill. But if you take stuff to Dress for Success or the homeless shelter or children's shelter, there are places that it's not just a theory that it might help someone. It is actually going to help someone today for you to donate things to those places. And that's really inspiring, I think.
And that's a great call
out.
That's a great
point.
Because you can easily, you can go sell your clothing, right? You make a little money. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to give you a lower price. There's a value. You can use something like Poshmark online, right, to kind of facilitate that. But every community has organizations that are set up to help people, and they have lists of things they need every single day, right? It can even be something as simple. I saw Because in our community, right, we have lots of green outdoor spaces, and one of the local shelters was asking for donations, and one of the things they asked for was camping equipment, because that's where, you know, people who are homeless, if the weather's nice and you have wooded areas, it's an easy way to find shelter. And that's something I bet a lot of people don't think about, right? If you had,
I wouldn't have. Yeah, that's
right.
No, that's great.
Maybe you were upgrading your equipment and you don't need two tents now. Well, there you go. Good place to donate it.
There's a place too. I believe it's a chain. Can I mention in business specifically?
I have no advertisers, so yeah, you're good to go.
So you might attract one.
Who knows?
Tag them. So there's a place called Clothes Mentor, clothes like in your closet, Mentor, and it's in Rogers, and it's a chain. I don't know how far around the country it is, but it's a consignment shop, and they only take clothing that's within like the last few years of style. So it's not like a Goodwill or a Salvation Army where you have to dig to find something that's actually kind of a relevant piece in the fashion world. But it has stuff that it's got everything, jeans and shoes and accessories and coats and formal wear. But they are consignment shops. So anything that you don't feel like you want to donate, because maybe it is, you know, a Ralph Lauren coat or whatever, you can take there, and then you can also shop there. Of course, I take things there that are rejected by Dress for Success for some reason, or that I don't feel like I want to take to Goodwill just yet because it's a little bit more, it's a little higher end. I've got more of an investment in it, and I'll trade in, I'll take the clothes there and then get credit from the store. And then I'm also buying things that are previously used when I use my credit there. So it's a great, I love that place. It's a great resource.
Well, and that's taking a model that we do for other things. Like, people do that with cars all the time, but I don't think people think about doing that with clothes. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I've still got value in this. So how can I convert that value into, you know, something else, as opposed to just it's a sunk cost. And now I have to go spend more money.
And they'll give you cash too. But I know I'm going to shop there eventually. So I just need credit.
Well, this has been exactly what I wanted it to be. I think this is a great conversation. Is there anything y'all have related to this that we didn't speak about, talk about?
I will say that I do, thoughts? Just in final point, that I am starting to apply this to my work process, and I don't keep to-do lists anymore. I use sticky notes, and so for every task, there's a sticky note, and once that task is complete, that sticky note goes away, so that it's completely off my mind. I'm not still looking at scratched out things on my list or a million, and the only sticky note in front of me is the thing that I'm currently working on. If I switch gears and move to something else, I move to a different sticky note. And I sometimes will have a whole bunch of them over here in kind of like my peripheral vision. And sometimes there are only like four major things that I need to work on. But it has really amped up my productivity.
Interesting. So you don't worry, you don't miss having the list that you've scratched things off. And like, I always equate that with, okay, I've got 10 things scratched
off.
I'm feeling really good about myself.
Well, so I don't just throw the sticky notes away. I have kind of this outbox stack of papers and things. And so as soon as the sticky note is done, it just gets stuck there. That brings me great satisfaction, because then I can see, look at all that I've accomplished, but that's also way outside my peripheral vision, and not anywhere near my things that need to be done. So it's like an archive kind of, and that, that kind of scratches that itch.
So
that's great.
That's, I think that's a really important thing to think about, and it's perfect, because I'll use it as a plug for, I published an episode yesterday, partly because I was feeling super guilty because I hadn't published anything in a few weeks because my task list was too
Slacker.
Long. And I sat down and just recorded my thoughts for 20 minutes and called the episode The Tyranny of Lists. Because my task list had been using me rather than the other way around, which happens, right? Like even with your sticky notes, I would wager at some point you'll have a huge column of them, and it just takes like take a breath and refocus and, you know, go back to the one.
Exactly.
But yeah, we could have, in fact, we can, I'll have you back. We can have a whole other conversation about workflow, because I think that's a thing worth revisiting from time to time. Because we
I think everyone is. Yeah, it's constantly evolving, constantly changing. Sometimes we're digital, sometimes we're analog, sometimes we're both. Yeah, it's own topic, but I do think it all relates to this concept of minimalism or essentialism or mindfulness. You know, it all kind of works together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you all very much. This has been fantastic. Next time I have you back, I promise I'll make it, or hopefully we can make it where it won't take, you know, 2 years.
Thanks
for doing
fun.
This. I loved it. This was fun.
Well, we will definitely do it again. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye, Steph.
Right.
Bye.
And that does it for this episode of the Simple Life Works podcast. I appreciate you spending some of your time with me today, trusting me with that time. I hope you found, at the very least, some tips for simplifying in your life and maybe a little inspiration as well for your personal journey toward less clutter and better connections with the people in your life. A couple of notes. If you found your way to this podcast through a web link or maybe on Facebook and you like it, please go subscribe. We are hosted on, you find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, basically anywhere that podcasts can be found. If you have a podcast player that you prefer and we're not on there, please send me a note and I'll be happy to reach out to that service and get us listed for you. Also, go to the website, simplelifeworks.com. I have a weekly newsletter with posts that I've found. I'll let you know every time a new podcast episode comes out in that newsletter. And also, whenever I have speaking engagements or workshops coming up, that if you're interested in that, those will be publicized in that newsletter as well. You can go to simplelifeworks.com, click newsletter in the menu and subscribe from there. If you would like some personal training, I'm available for that, personal coaching, or if you think your company or team would benefit from a workshop on simplification and minimalism, I would love to come talk or speak to any group you have. Please reach out to me, simplelifeworks.com. Click the contact tab. Let me know what's going on. We will make it happen. That is it for me. Again, I am Brad Lawless. This is Simple Life Works. I wish you well on your journey. Until next week.
Dang it, Stephanie.
That was Lori.